Well, this past Friday night, some of you saw a post on Facebook, so you know where Heather and I were. You can go back to that. That was the right picture. Yeah. We were in Columbia visiting Abby, who's a senior at the University of South Carolina, or as we used to call it growing up in Greenville, Carolina. We were visiting her for the last parents' weekend, because it was her last year, and we took her out to a nice dinner. This was not the exact place, but it was something like that. Being with her was wonderful. The conversation was wonderful. The food was wonderful. But as I was preparing the sermon for today, I reflected on our server, our waiter. He was excellent. He was very attentive to us. He made sure drinks were refilled. He talked us through the menu. He got our orders exactly right. My favorite part is that he affirmed my order. I said, I would like to get the shrimp and the grits. And he said, great choice, great choice. Always makes me feel good when I make a great choice off the menu. But he checked in with us throughout the whole night. And the thing about a great server is you do notice if they're good, but if they're doing it right, they're kind of invisible. They're there when you want them. They're there when you need them. And they deliver to you the delicious food from the kitchen that you want. What you really notice, though, is when you have a bad server who doesn't come back when you want them, who gets the order messed up. That's what really sticks in your mind. And that image of serving well stuck in my head as I read through the scriptures for today and was thinking about how to talk about service. So I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we are focusing on the several core values of our church, one of which is serve. It's grow, serve, steward, and care. You can go to the next slide if you would. You see them across there. Today, we're going to be focused particularly on the one serve. Actually, two of them are lifted up in the passage, and I'll name those when we get to them. But today, we're going to look at the core commitment of serve and how it's not only invited and commanded of us to serve others, but God gives us what we need to do it well. God equips us to serve. That should be the title of this thing. All right, so I want to jump in with you. You can follow along in a Bible or in your bulletin. In Ephesians 4, we're going to start at verse 7 and just kind of work our way through this. There's verse 7 up in front of you, and it says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. What is this gift of Christ? Well, it's talking about the whole good news gospel story. It is God coming down among us in Christ. It is the teaching about the kingdom. It is the salvation on the cross, his death. It's also his resurrection to which we are joined into new life and a new beginning, a new start. It's also him being raised, lifted up into heaven at the hand of the Father, and we're joined with him in heaven through the Spirit. This is what Ephesians is teaching as you go through those first several chapters before you get to chapter 4. It says this great inheritance, these riches, these are Christ's gift, God's gift through Christ to us. And in a word, it's grace. It's not something that we earned or deserved or fight our way to or work our level up to. It is God's gift to us that we accept and receive through faith, through trusting in Jesus, the one that he sent. So that's where we start today. To each one of us, grace was given according to, in keeping with this gift of salvation, of resurrection, of being joined with Christ. And then in verse 8, it's this kind of obscure reference, and I actually even left out a little bit more that got more obscure, but it says this, that therefore, because of what we just read in verse 7, Scripture says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, in other words, when he went back to be at the right hand of God the Father after Easter, after the resurrection, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men and women, to humanity. The best scholars kind of unpack what is this led captive, a host of captives. It was an image from military victory in the time when this was written, that when One force, one ruler defeated another. You didn't just win. You took captive and brought the riches back from the person you defeated. I mean, literally, Jesus took captive the enemy of sin and death. When he died on the cross, he defeated, he overcame sin and death and the hold that those forces had on humanity. And he released us. And he took sin and death itself captive and returned in power to the right hand of God. What verse 8 says is that in doing that, this salvation that was not just a rescue, but a victory over sin and death, he also gave gifts to humanity. And that's what we're going to focus in on today. So the great gift is the salvation and the victory itself. That's grace, God's great gift. And then, when we get down to verse 11, Paul's going to describe some specific gifts that he gave us. There's a list there in verse 11, and Bobby and Christy both read this. It says, God gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. I put a picture of one of our favorite evangelists up there. This is Ashley Butler, who with her husband Pratt are missionaries in Mexico with Young Life. This picture is from the all-church retreat at Bon Clarken a couple of years ago when she and Pratt came and were kind of our speakers for the weekend. And I just thought of her when I read that list. We don't talk a lot these days about apostles and prophets. And you may not know any evangelists personally, but we do. Ashley and Pratt are a good example of that. The first three primarily describe leadership that God raised up in the early church for the world. They weren't necessarily confined to a local church, but moved, spread the word, spread the gospel. The apostles were the disciples after Easter, the ones with that special authority, 12 of them, who were kind of over the whole church. And then prophets and evangelists had different roles in declaring the good news. Pastors and teachers were more at the local level. I mean, some of them had multiple churches, but they taught at the local level. You've heard of both of those, of course. This list is not here to define for you what these five things are or to be exhaustive about the kind of folks God raises to leadership in the church. I would quickly add to this list, and this just happened to fall this Sunday, folks like elders and deacons, ministry staff, Christy and Eric, those who step up to teach and lead and serve, like Bobby did with the children's message, or the folks volunteering in the nursery. God raises up leaders in the church. Those are some of the gifts that God has given us. There's the great gift of grace, and then there's gifts for the working out of our discipleship, for the working of the church, for ministry and mission. God gives gifts to people that they might serve the Lord in the context of ministry. I want to take a moment, though, to make a distinction for you, because I realize you may well be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not going to be a pastor or teacher, definitely not an apostle or prophet or traveling evangelists. I'm not even sure I'll ever be an elder or deacon. I don't really want to do the children's sermon. Maybe the nursery if they catch me on a good day. You know, is this passage for me? Or is it just a good one for the folks that just stood up front? You know, they have something here. This passage is actually for every one of us. And I want to point out why by looking at a few small words in these passages. The first is in verse 7. The words to look for are each, some, and all. Verse 7 says that God's great gift was given to each one of us. There in verse 7. To each one of us, grace was given. That's everybody, right, who will believe and receive it. Grace is given to each one of you as you trust in Christ. And then this list I just showed you says that God, in different times and seasons, and according to need, God raises up some as leaders. Well, that's not a cue for you to check out Because in verse 12, it comes back to all of us again. The reason God raises up some as leaders is so that they will equip all the saints. And before you quickly say, well, I'm not a saint, I'm off the hook for that. Saints merely means the called out ones, the ones who belong to God. It's everybody. You're all a saint. It's confusing because I know the Catholic Church and some others have people who have led lives of special service, and we call them saints. But this usage in the Bible is for all believers. You are a saint. It literally means a set apart one because you have chosen to follow Jesus. So that's the arc of this passage, right? God has given grace to all of you, each of you who believe and receive it. God raises up some according to different gifts and needs and times and seasons in the church. But the purpose for that is to equip all of us for something. Before I move on, I was trying to think of a picture to illustrate this. And I found online a symphony orchestra with a director with a baton. And I thought, oh, I can find something much closer to home than that. And I happen to have this picture of Eric directing the choir. And I thought, this is a good mini illustration, right, of what's being described here. All the people in the choir aren't asked or gifted or raised up to be the director of the choir, right? Some, in this case, one has been asked to do that role. But his role is to equip the choir members, the different voices, different music, to direct Rick on the piano, who has his own special calling there, so that every member of the choir can serve through their music. And that's played out in the church setting as well. God raises up some leaders, and this is the part for you, elders and deacons and staff. God's raised you up not because you're the church, but so that you may equip the church, which is all of you, all of us. We are the church, right? So that's where I want to get to. Why? What is it we're being equipped for? And this is in verses 12 and 13. Why does God raise up some? This is my equipment shot you'll see up there. What are we equipped for? Why are we equipped? There's several things listed in verse 12, and I've listed them up there. The first is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Remember, that's where we started. That's the theme we're looking at today, is service. God has given grace to all, raised up some to equip all of you to serve for the work of service. Let me define that real quick. Serve is actually another one of these rich terms in the Bible that means several things all at once. One thing is it's a form of worship. It means to worship the Lord. You serve the Lord, right, through your obedience to God, through listening to the word and responding and obeying it. Scripture also teaches us to serve one another. Jesus set that example for us, and you heard that in the prologue to getting the elders and deacons up there. Whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So if we're following Jesus, he came to serve, then we also are to serve. So God has graced us all, raised up some for leadership, but the leadership is to equip all of us for the work of service. Secondly, to equip us for the building up of the body of Christ. This gets back to our first theme of grow, right? To grow up, to mature, to grow in numbers, to grow in depth and spiritual maturity and depth. That's also why God raises up elders and deacons and pastors and teachers and children's sermon volunteers and youth advisors and all the rest. It is to equip the whole church, right, to grow in him, to draw people in, to grow in numbers, to grow deep spiritually. And that's actually the third item, until we all attain to a maturity, right? A unity of faith, knowledge of Jesus, and a maturity in Christ. I looked up the word maturity that's in here. It's a kind of a Greek philosophical concept of that day when it was written. And it was the Greek idea of the fully developed person in body, mind, and spirit. Paul is using it here in a spiritual sense to say we have to get past the everybody go their own direction stage, right, to be unified in heart and mind and purpose. Not with the pastor, but with Christ. That's this unity of faith, knowledge of Jesus, maturity in Christ. So all of this, God's gifted us, both the big gift of grace and with gifts among us, gifted people to lead, so that we can all serve and grow. Right? That's back to our starting place with those core values. Interestingly, and this is perhaps why I chose my opening illustration, the word for serve in the New Testament, you can go to our next slide, the word for serve in the New Testament is the Greek word for waiter or server, like the kind that brings you food at a table server. That's the New Testament word for what it means to serve. And it's not saying our mission is to go out and all find a restaurant and be a server there. It's a picture of what we're supposed to do. So think back again to our excellent server Friday night. What made him so good, right? He listened to us. He identified our need. We were hungry. We were there to be fed deliciously. He had access to the kitchen and the chef and the delicious food that was prepared. He communicated with us and said, what do you need? What do you want? And he brought it to us, and he was attentive to us. He brought us food and drink, and I'm not oblivious to the fact that so often Jesus talked about himself and the gospel in terms of those basic necessities of food and drink and rest. But this image for us, and the actual word for what we're equipped to do, to serve, is that picture of being an effective server at the table side, to listen well, to deliver what God has in the kitchen to the folks in need at the table side. Serving is not just something for a few. It's something for all of us, to each one of us. So I would challenge you, if you don't know ways to serve, we try to put those before you in the newsletter and sermons, or come ask me or an elder or a deacon or a staff member about things like our ministry at Brighton Place, the couple guys here from the group home across the street. They're folks we've connected with for a long, long time now. We're so thrilled they're here. The elementary school down the street, there's ongoing opportunities there to serve our neighbors and the families around us. Our preschool, community garden, we're going to be crop walking soon. And because of COVID protocols, it looks like each church has the opportunity to do the crop walk, not downtown, but in their own neighborhood. What a great idea. We may never go back after this, right? To gather and walk and pray and see our neighbors around us. The Christmas shop coming up. We don't lack for opportunities to serve. And it is what God intends for each of us. I would also challenge you to ask God to open your eyes to the opportunities around you. They abound. Right? Things that I don't see yet. That God would open all of our eyes to say, where would you have me serve? Where would you have me follow you out into the world and join in what you're doing? And God may well reveal to you, and this has happened more than once in the last year, an opportunity to serve that we have not thought of yet as a church. Come share those ideas with me or your deacon when they call you, or an elder or staff member. And let's see if we can gather some folks around that and go serve the Lord together. Finally, I would say this, serving people is not a task or a burden or an obligation of the church. I mean, think of the language that Ephesians describes us with. It is a gift that God has given us to go serve others. We started the service with Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. If the image holds up, think about Christmas morning, when you're a kid and you see that present under the tree is your thought, oh, I have to open another gift this morning. I mean, do you ever open a gift to you from another person and it is wearisome and obligation and duty? Now, there's a delight if we can understand what it is that God is inviting us to do that fuels and energizes and propels us forward with joy. So that's my hope for myself and for you as well this morning. Amen.